You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up after 7, it's this week's edition of Reveal. Tonight, Reveal takes a look at the toll of gun violence in the country, who's documenting the damage, and how lives can be saved. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, an offer made to one of the nation's oldest media companies was made public today. Tribune Publishing, the parent company of major daily newspapers like the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune, received an offer to be purchased by its biggest competitor, Gannett Media.
Gannett made a private offer to buy Tribune Publishing for $815 million. To put that in perspective, Gannett offered Tribune a little over $12 per share for stock that's been struggling at about $7 as of late. Gannett owns major papers like USA Today. It recently acquired the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and owns other papers in Wisconsin. If the offer goes through, it would be one of Gannett's biggest acquisitions yet.
Here to tell us more about the potential deal between the major media companies and what it means for the newspaper industry is Jim Warren. He's the former managing editor of the Chicago Tribune and currently the chief media writer at Poynter Institute and contributing editor for the New York Daily News, also contributor to Vanity Fair. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure on a pretty notable day, as I said, on the north side of Chicago, not just because it's like 75, 80 degrees, and we've like whisked right past spring for one day, but also because of this deal, which clearly was a surprise, I think, first and foremost to the management, the new management of Tribune Publishing, and a 49-year-old, until now sort of little-known tech executive, Minnie Mogul, who had sold a software healthcare imaging firm to IBM for $1 billion last fall, and then parlayed his involvement in the Chicago Sun-Times into basically taking over the Tribune Company in a somewhat surprise deal itself just 2 months ago. So he's been in charge basically for 2 months, and now what is essentially a hostile offer from Gannett, hostile because, of, as best I can tell, they called and said, hey, let's talk, and he wasn't interested, so bingo.
Right, this has been a roller coaster ride because this offer was first made on April 12th, but the public found out today. Why did it go public today?
Well, it went public today because Gannett said clearly, okay, enough's enough. We wanted to be nice. We wanted to sit down, talk, look at your financials on a private basis, and then likely make an offer. And apparently Tribune Publishing, not interested. So Gannett says, okay, no more nice guys. We're going public with this offer, which, as your colleague said, $12 a share for a stock that had gone into the dumper was about $20 a share a year ago, and given the state of the whole newspaper industry, has fallen. So this is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see if Tribune Publishing, led by the tech executive Michael Farrow, now does whatever it sees fit to try to rebut this, and whether it, whether the shareholders, other major shareholders say, wait a second, $12 for stuff that's been in the dumper, I'll take that.
Right, that's a pretty aggressive offer from Gannett there on the stock options alone. What does that mean for the shareholders who are going to be weighing this offer right now?
Well, shareholders, just imagine you've got 1,000 shares or 100,000 shares that are right now in the market have been valued around 7 or 8. Somebody's offering you $12. I suspect the strategy would be a willingness to go a little higher than that. If circumstances play out that way, maybe somebody comes out of the woodwork and says, hey, we want to get involved in a bidding for the company. So I wouldn't take the $12 necessarily as the last offer, but you can just put yourself in the place of major institutional shareholders that have a lot of stock. Say you got 1,000, 2,000 shares and someone's offering you 50% more than it's been valued. You'll take that seriously.
It's interesting. Gannett Media seems like it's kind of on a roll. It just acquired, for instance, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here in Wisconsin, and you've got it looking to acquire Tribune Publishing not shortly, just sort of shortly on the heels of that offer there. What's with the speed of this offer, do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. The deal for Milwaukee, which was a big, big, big deal for Gannett, came after a period of time when the then CEO of Tribune Publishing, a guy named Jack Griffin, he himself was kicking the tires about a Milwaukee deal. He saw, you know, obvious synergies, printing and otherwise, and having big paper in Chicago, the big paper in Milwaukee. He apparently didn't want to buy the entire company, and then Gannett swoops in and buys it. The deal was consummated, you know, legally 2 weeks ago. It's still way too early, Veronica, to know what the impact will actually be on a city which, like a lot of cities, has been accustomed to decades and decades and decades of local ownership. And now you're going to have sort of, you know, faraway chain company owning them. So it's too early. I think I gather folks in the newsroom there are sort of a little bit wary, but, you know, to use a, you know, cliche that one uses in all walks of life, sort of cautiously optimistic at this point. Early responses I've gotten from folks at the existing Tribune Publishing, and Tribune Publishing, the flagship now is the Los Angeles Times, then there's the Chicago Tribune, and there are nine other papers, notably the Baltimore Sun and paper and papers in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. The early sort of unscientific survey I've done is, you know, people are very, very, very anxious. Gannett has been traditionally associated with smaller town, sort of more middle brow type papers, not associated, say, with, you know, A-list great New York Times, Washington Post-like journalism. And so this is a really, you know, going into Milwaukee, Chicago, and L.A. is a big step up in class for them in many ways. And I'll be interested to see how they perform.
We're talking with Jim Warren right now, chief media writer at the Poynter Institute, talking about the offer recently from Gannett Media to buy its biggest competitor, Tribune Publishing, parent company of the Chicago Tribune and the L.A. Times. And Jim, as you were just outlining there, some of Gannett's holdings, what happens to the scope of their brand and their reach if they acquire Tribune brands like the Chicago Tribune and the L.A. Times? How much clout do they have?
Well, you know, they have, I don't know how you put it, Veronica, they have more clout in a dramatically diminishing industry. I mean, you know, just think about the price that they're paying, just over $800 million for the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, and nine other papers. It wasn't too long ago, maybe 10 years ago, it would have cost you at least $1 billion alone to buy the L.A. Times, $1 billion alone to buy the Chicago Tribune. But it just shows how dramatic the decline has been, spurred by a lot of factors, notably the Internet. You know, the decline in value of these properties has been huge. Now, as I said, they're now stepping up into a different league, a higher profile. They had, I think, traditionally, institutionally, been a little bit wary of big, big, big markets. They, you know, did by, you know, some accounts rather brilliantly, certainly financially, in small markets. I mean, they're, in fact, I think they're the state where they've got the most papers now is Wisconsin, Green Bay, and elsewhere. And so I think they felt more at home in smaller and mid-sized markets. They had a business model in which, by and large, the publisher was king. The editor was really not so significant, and that's very different than you've had traditionally at places like Milwaukee and Chicago and Los Angeles and New York and Washington, where there was, you know, sort of at times a fractious, but ultimately a real sort of partnership of equals between editors and publishers. And some would argue that the resulting quality of those papers was a result of that, and the fact that in the business, at least, Gannett is not synonymous with that sort of quality. It has something to do with the business structure, which they placed upon a lot of their papers.
What do we know about what might happen to reporting, to journalism, when you get some of these big media companies consolidating?
Well, I think by and large what you've seen is, you know, in many cases, fairly dramatic decrease in the size of newsrooms, an attempt to consolidate lots of business functions, whether it's marketing or sales, distribution or printing and things like that, and that the, you know, consensus would be that journalistically it has not been very good for, you know, old media newspapers who have but then, I think, exacerbated their problems with a lot of self-inflicted wounds, you know, most notably not shifting quickly enough to the Internet as, their once very lucrative print circulation headed south very quickly, and now being in the position of, you know, sort of desperately, and I think too late, in many cases, trying to get people to pay for online content, which arguably is not as strong as the content that they once upon a time produced.
If I'm a news consumer, I'm on the ground in Los Angeles or Chicago or Milwaukee for that matter, how do you expect what I'm reading in the morning online or in the paper to change after a merger like this one with Gannett?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think that Gannett itself is 100% sure. They've made some big executive changes just in the last month or so, and one of the things they're trying to figure out is how they can consolidate journalistically in a smart way. For instance, how their Washington bureau and how their investigative folks in D.C. can produce stuff that folks in Milwaukee and elsewhere might find of interest. There's a sense that they have not done a very good job with that, at least at a high journalistic level. So I think it's it'll be a challenge. But for folks who are accustomed to traditions of, you know, great local investigative reporting, and, you know, as a Pulitzer judge in a bunch of different years, having sat at the table and looked at great stuff from Milwaukee, you know, I know that they have been able in the last decade to produce just consistently terrific stuff, even with huge cost constraints on them. I think for the consumer on the ground at some of these other places, there would be reason for concern, but, you know, of course, that's a little bit ironic since the larger problem in the industry is that there are fewer and fewer people on the ground, Veronica, who really care about the local newspaper.
We're talking with Jim Warren right now, former managing editor at the Chicago Tribune, current chief media writer at the Poynter Institute, talking about a recent offer from Gannett Media to buy its biggest competitor, Tribune Publishing.
We want to hear from you. How do you feel about bigger media companies like Gannett acquiring other newspapers? If you're a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reader, did anything change for you when it was bought out by Gannett Media? Are you still reading the newspaper in the old-fashioned paper version, or do you follow your local newspaper's web incarnation? Call in now at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got an article by Jim linked there. And do you see bad news in media consolidation? Do you see fewer competing media organizations affecting you as a consumer of news? Again, call in at 800-642-1234. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our conversation with Jim Warren, former managing editor at the Chicago Tribune and currently the chief media writer at Poynter Institute. And we're talking about an unsolicited offer that the owners of the Chicago Tribune and LA Times recently got from Gannett Media, a potential deal to buy Tribune Publishing for $815 million.
That's Gannett as in USA Today, and it's made its presence known in Wisconsin. It now has the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to go along with a number of other Gannett Wisconsin papers. We want to know what this looks like from where you are sitting and where you are reading. Are newspapers still a part of your life in print version, or do you follow one of the newspapers in your community online or a national paper? Or does it matter if it's a newspaper website versus any other news source? And do you worry? Do you think about mergers between major news sources? Do you worry about how that'll affect the news that you get, the news you read? Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Jim, if we look at a merger like this, big stakes here, companies taking over many papers across the country, if we've got this winnowed pool of people who delivered the news, what happens to diversity and competition in the news industry?
Well, I think you know the answer, Veronica. You have less and less. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, long ago you had the depth of most two or three newspaper towns. They had this dramatic consolidation, and you know you're going to have less on the traditional local level now. Whether some of the big national brands, you know, the Foxes of the world and the BuzzFeeds of the world and the Gawkers of the world and the Huffington Post of the world, find an economic model where it's worth their while to do local stuff, you know, I don't know. I mean, you've got a fairly feisty online local news operation in Chicago and New York called, you know, DNA Info, which does a nice job, but it's, you know, it's not exactly offering huge competition at this point to either the existing papers, the Tribune or the Sun-Times. And for your guys, for your information, and you know, I didn't exactly know this, just looking at the list, Wisconsin clearly is Gannett's biggest state. I mean, there's the Post-Crescent in Appleton, the Reporter in Fond du Lac, the Green Bay Press-Gazette, the Herald Times Reporter, the Marshfield News Herald, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Oshkosh Northwestern, Sheboygan Press, Stevens Point Journal, Wausau Daily Herald, and the Daily Tribune Wisconsin Rapids. They've got a pretty big, you know, footprint in the state.
So, Jim, I want to get to our callers. We've got some, but I want to follow up on that first, just briefly. Why Wisconsin? Why has Gannett chosen to stake such a big claim here in Wisconsin?
Oh, I don't know the history of their ownership of a lot of these properties. They're big in a whole lot of states. And, big in Florida, a lot of papers in New York, a few more in Wisconsin. But, you know, their business model is based on small and mid-sized markets, squeezing a whole lot of costs out of things, running things very frugally. And, you know, one of the reasons they're able to make this bid is that they've got one of the best balance sheets in the newspaper industry. A lot of other folks are saddled with huge debt. They are not, because on the financial side, they've been, pretty shrewd folks.
Let's get to our callers now. Bob is with us in Oshkosh. Bob, hi.
Hello.
What do you think?
Well, I read online Monday through Friday and get it delivered to the Oshkosh Northwestern on Saturday and Sunday. I find that since the acquisition of the Journal Sentinel, we get very limited local writing. This past weekend, I don't even know if there was an article in the front section that was written from a local perspective.
All right, Bob, thank you for that perspective there. Bob's saying he's seeing a winnowing of local reporting. It sounds like that could be something you were looking at as a possible consequence, Jim.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of the potential consequences of consolidation in most any industry. And you look at stuff in a particular geographical region, you go, you know, how can I save money? And one way is sort of, you know, one-size-fits-all, mode of operating. And, you know, without seeing the Oshkosh paper, I'll stipulate to what your caller said as being right, but it would not surprise me if there, you know, over time has been a greater homogeneity among the papers in a particular geographic region, you know. So why do we both have to cover that, Wisconsin men's basketball game? Why do both favors? We can just have one guy do it for the Sentinel and for everybody else. That's the sort of thinking that has prevailed by and large over the last decade.
And Jim, again, just briefly before we get another caller in, kind of running short on time here, but when does this become kind of an antitrust thing that might play out in the courts instead?
I don't think, given where all these papers are, the Tribune Publishing had a problem in the Justice Department, President Obama's Justice Department, nixed a recent attempt for them to buy the big Orange County, California paper, citing their ownership of the papers in Los Angeles and San Diego as essentially raising antitrust questions, because they would have basically owned all the big papers from Los Angeles south of the Mexican border. I don't think, Veronica, you've got a counterpart to that right here in this deal.
Let's go next to John in Cedarburg. John, hello.
Hi. I'm really sorry to see the consolidation of our newsprint and information. It seems to me the Journal and Sentinel used to give differing points of view, and then they became the Journal. Then when they endorsed Walker, I thought they had gone kind of right wing, so I stopped reading them at all. And I know Gannett is, they're pretty right-wing. They used to plant articles in northern Wisconsin that were very pro-Iraq war.
And, John, I'm going to leave it there. We're just about out of time. But, Jim, I want to say thank you to you for joining us. Lots to chew on there.
Hey, pleasure, guys.
That was Jim Warren, former managing editor at the Chicago Tribune, currently the chief media writer at Poynter Institute and contributing editor for the New York Daily News. And he talked to us there about a potential buyout of Tribune Publishing, the owners of Chicago Tribune and the LA Times, by Gannett Media.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a guest says recent Wisconsin budgets have gutted vital state services and a big part of Wisconsin's identity with cuts to UW Extension.
On the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant disaster in Ukraine, we'll hear about a Wisconsin-based effort to help people in that affected region.
And a guest tells us about how difficult it can be to maintain adult friendships. People move away, hard to make new friends. She'll have advice on, in our adult lives, how to make some new friends.
That's all coming up tomorrow, plus a look at the news here on Central Time.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. Tomorrow morning after 7, a school in Middleton, Wisconsin, is seeing controversy over a Jesus lunch on a public park during school hours. Joy gets two perspectives on that issue. That's tomorrow morning after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
Coming up next, it's the news from NPR and WPR.
Then we'll talk about the news that candidates Ted Cruz and John Kasich are working together to deny the Republican presidential nomination to Donald Trump, coordinating their efforts in some key primary states. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.